We now call the Committee on Environment, Climate, and Legacy to order. Let it note that today is April 4th, 2023, and the time is 3:07. And the main purpose for today's committee is to hear our third omnibus bill from this committee, and that is the Omnibus Legacy Finance Bill. And we want to be mindful on time, and we are operating under tight deadline, all community must be adjourned by 5 o'clock today. And so due to that, some of our members have been able to present in other committee. We'll try our best to get a hard stop at 4:30 in this committee. I'll pass my gavel since the Senate filed the omnibus legacy bill. Senate file 1682 is my bill. I'm going to pass the gavel to Senator Morrison to chair, and I'll walk over to the other aisle. Not other aisle, but the other table to present.
Senator Herr, welcome to the testifiers table. As you said, Senator Herr, the only item on the agenda today is Senate File 1682, the legacy bill, and I understand you have a delete all amendment.
That is correct, Madam Chair. I have the A3 amendment. And,
Senator Herr moves the A3.
Madam Chair, if you mind, I left some note over my desk. I'm going to come. And, okay. So, good.
Notes on their way, Senator Herr.
And Madam Chair, I'd like to move that we adopt the A3 delete all amendment to Senate File 1682.
Senator Herr moves the adoption of the A3 delete all amendment. Members, all in favor of the delete all A3, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the A3 delete all amendment is adopted. Senator Herr.
Madam Chair, I also have a technical amendment from the DNR, and that's A4 amendment.
Senator Herr moves the A4 amendment.
And this amendment extends the time that the DNR technical evaluation panel has to conduct restoration and enhancement evaluation. And so, member, I move that this committee adopt A4 amendment to Senate File 1682.
Thank you, Senator Herr. Senator Herr moves to adopt the A4 amendment to Senate File 1682. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, please say nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Senator Herr, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so this bill 1682 is amended, you know, with A3 and A4 together. So, sounds good. Thank you, members. The bill before Senate File 1682, as amended, is a Senate Legacy Budget Omnibus Bill. Legacy Bill is a legislation that I normally take pride in for its support for our clean water, land, and the arts and culture heritage. The legacy amendment was passed into law in 2008 by Minnesota voters to protect and restore wetlands, lakes and rivers, forests, wildlife habitat, as well as to preserve arts and cultural heritage. The 3/8 of a 1% sales tax make our funding possible for the 33% of our clean water fund, 33% of our outdoor heritage fund, and the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and also to the Park and Trail Fund. I thank legislation that served before us for their leadership in the legacy amendment. More in particular, former Senator Cohen that was here a few weeks ago. So now before us is Senate File 1682, our Senate Omnibus Legacy Finance Bill, in hope for your consideration. All the provisions in this bill were heard in this committee and now with the final amount attached to the project. I'd like our council to walk through the bill and we'll stand for any questions and discussion later. One thing I ask is that we don't make any change to the total budget of this bill and prefer we not change the dollar that I redesignate to each project. So I'd like to defer this time to our council, Mr. Mueller, and then followed by Mr. Stanley.
Mr. Mueller.
Madam Chair and members, I will be going through the legacy spreadsheet. It's a five-page document. It just shows the amounts that are being appropriated in this bill. Since the legacy funds do not have any base budget, there's no comparison to, you know, above or below base. And the total amount appropriated in the bill across the four funds is $821.8 million across the 2 years. The Outdoor Heritage Fund only appropriates money in fiscal year 24. They will be coming with another recommendation next year. It'll probably have around another, probably around $150 million or so of recommendations out of that fund. Otherwise, the other three funds have proposals that go across the 2 years. So I will start with the Outdoor Heritage Fund. These are the recommendations that came out of Senate File 573 as revised by the Lessard-Sams Outdoor Heritage Council. There was extra money available in the February forecast, about $4 million, and the Lessard-Sams Outdoor Heritage Council did recommend to allocate that $4 million across most of the projects, proportionally across most of the projects in the bill. So the numbers that are on this spreadsheet and in the bill reflect that, what the Lessard-Sams Outdoor Heritage Council has recommended. So I'm just going to go through some of the totals here. Totals for prairies, 31.9 million. Forests, 6.6 million roughly. Wetlands, 3.4 million. And across on the next page of the spreadsheet, habitat is the largest area, 97.3 million. And administration is 1.8 million. And you'll see there that the amount that goes for the council itself did receive appropriations for the 2 years. So they about $634,000 and $651,000. So the total for the Outdoor Heritage Fund is $171.79 million across the 2 years. They did leave a 6% fund balance in the first year. Normally in the other funds, we go up to a 5% fund balance, but they went up to a 6% in fiscal year 24. And then again, next year they would be appropriating money all the way up to possibly the 5%. So if they did that next year, like I said, it'd probably be around $150 million. On to the Clean Water Fund. These are the recommendations that came from the Clean Water Council as is. The only change to the recommendations to the Clean Water Council is they did recommend there was an extra just over $3 million as part of the February forecast, and the Clean Water Council recommended adding all that to line 88, which is the Ag BMP loan program under the Department of Agriculture. So those numbers, and splitting it across the 2 years. So the Clean Water Council, that was the only change they recommended after they put out their initial recommendations, and it was all added to that line item. Otherwise, all the recommendations in here are from the Clean Water Council. Now I'll go through just totals by agency. Department of Agriculture, $41.67 million. Pollution Control Agency, $48.3 million. Now, I will note on line 102 of the spreadsheet, this is from Senator Green's bill, Senate File 876, for the Red River Watershed Management Board. This was the Red River Watch Program. So that was one item that was not part of the Clean Water Council recommendations, but this was part of this proposal, and that's just a carve-out of the line 101. Department of Natural Resources, $25.5 million. Board of Water and Soil Resources, or Bowser, they'll be getting, it's about 49% of the total amount that comes out of the Clean Water Fund goes to Bowser, and that's $156.1 million. Minnesota Department of Health is $23.2 million. Met Council, $3.75 million. University of Minnesota, $3 million. Legislative Coordinating Commission, $6,000. And then Public Facilities Authority, $16.7 million. So this proposal, you'll see down on line 172 through 177, over the course of the 2 years, does spend up to the 5%, leaving a 5% fund balance in the end of fiscal year 25. Parks and Trails, this recommendation does follow the Parks and Trails ongoing recommendation of doing 40% for state parks, 20% for regional parks and trails, and 40% for metropolitan parks. Now that 40-20-40 split is taken out after the amount on line 186 is taken into consideration. That is an appropriation that goes out for coordinating among the partners. There's a group of from all three of those groups that meet regularly and coordinate their proposals, and they also has a, they're working on a website that coordinates all the parks and trails in the state. So that's where that money goes to. But then after that is taken out, it's split 40-40-20. And so the total amount for state parks is 54, just over 50 more, 4 million. For regional parks and trails is just over 27 million. And metropolitan parks and trails, again, is 54 million. And then 3,000 to the legislative LCC for coordinating the and running the website. And again, you'll see on line 206, the proposal does leave a 5% fund balance at the end of fiscal year 2025. The last article, Article 4, is the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund recommendations. I'll start off by noting there are some, if we jump ahead to line 307, there's about just over $3 million of fiscal year 23 appropriations in this bill. There was to the Historical Society. After last session in Chapter 77, there was some language that was intended to extend some appropriations for the Historical Society. It had an error in the drafting, but the intent was to extend those appropriations, and MMB did go ahead and cancel those appropriations, even though that wasn't the intent. So this here proposal reappropriates $3 million in fiscal year 23 to the Historical Society to make up for that interpretation of the language that was passed last year. So that amount goes out first, and then after that, basically $191.95 million is left over to appropriate to go up to the 5%. Of that $191.95 million, 47% goes to the Arts Board as required in statute, and that ends up being about $90.2 million. To the Minnesota Historical Society and their programs, it's $38.7 million. And some of the separate items, grant items, are listed on lines 222 through 224. The Department of Education for the libraries is $5.5 million. Under the Department of Administration are a number of grants. Some of these have been in the bill or are in the legacy bill historically. Minnesota Public Radio and the Ampers Public Radio, Minnesota Public Television, all on lines 231 through 233. Those are all normally in the bill. Line 234, we have the amount that was for military and veterans history stories that was in under public television. Then you'll see on lines 235 through 249 are other amounts that reflect some of the bills that were in this committee, but I won't read them all separately. The Minnesota Zoo on line 253 was at $4 million. The Minnesota Humanities Center starts on line 255. And there's a couple programs here that I'll highlight. There's overall just over $3 million on line 256 for the Humanities Center's programs. This is just the normal programming that they run out of the Arts and Culture Heritage Fund. They're on line 257 through 269 are grants for children's museums. And the Minnesota's Children's Museum in St. Paul is at $1 million for the biennium. And then all the other ones are listed separately. And this was from a Senator McEwen bill. And a Senator Nelson includes with Children's Museum of Rochester. They all get the same amount, $75,000 per year, and are listed in the bill. Also note on line 271, there's community and identity heritage grants. And the way this works, there's an open amount of competitive grant money of $2.5 million the first year, and then $6.46 million the second year. And then under the first year, you'll see on lines 273 through 287 are a number of the separate proposals that were heard in committee and are just being funded at the first year amount. And then the second year, they would be eligible or would be going to the competitive grant program. So just the first year listed and then second year for the competitive grants. And then the civics program is on line 287. That is not part of the competitive grant program. That's a separate line item. The last couple items we have here is the Indian Affairs Council at $4.6 million, and that's divided up between on lines 290 through 294. And the last agency, Department of Agriculture, are two items, the county fair grants at $800,000, and then from Senator Wiesenberg's bill for the 4-H shooting sports grants, that's on line 298 at $50,000 per year. And then $4,000 going to the Legislative Coordinating Commission. So again, this proposal also with appropriating that just over $3 million to the Historical Society puts the total at a 5% fund balance. And again, you'll see that at the end there, line 329 is how much is being appropriated in this bill, $821.8 million. And on line 31, I'll make my annual pitch for the Legacy website. It's a really good website, and it's funded under the funds in this bill, and it has information about all the past grants from all the funds, and including the Environment Natural Resources Trust Fund. And it also has information, links back to all the agencies that run grant programs. It has links to those too, so it's a really good website as far as information on the legacy funds go. So that's all I have on the spreadsheet, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, Mr. Stanley and I can quickly go through parts of the bill.
Excellent. I like the plug for the website. Good transparency, too. Members, any questions? Okay, Mr. Stanley, your turn.
Madam Chair, actually, I'm going to cover a couple things in the first three chapters. I'm just going to point out a couple of items that were not in the bills that were introduced originally. In the Outdoor Heritage Fund, on page 26, there are just a few more extensions that are part of this proposal that have been approved by the Basard Outdoor Heritage Council. And they're on lines 26.28 through 27.12. They're just extending the availability of some other previous appropriations. So these weren't originally part of Senate File 573, but are part of this proposal. And then I'll jump to the Clean Water Fund. There's a similar, they're on page 58 and 59. There's an extension of two appropriations that were previously to the Department of Health, and that makes them available until June 30th, 2024. And then lastly, I'll note the extensions that are in the Parks and Trails article. They're on line 64. There's three of them here, section 6, 7, and 8. Senator or Section 6 is from Senate File 2737, Senator Putnam, for the City of St. Cloud Beaver Island Regional Trail. Section 7 is from Senate File 1977, Senator Rarick, is extension of the to the City of Sandstone. And then the Greater Minnesota Parks and Trails Commission asked for an extension of all their appropriations from laws from 2019 session to be extended until June 30th, 2025, and that's in Section 8. And those are the only other additions I have in those three articles, and I'll turn it now to Mr. Stanley.
Mr. Stanley.
Madam Chair, members, the bulk of this bill is the spreadsheet that Mr. Mueller just went over, but I will just touch on a few language changes that have been made in Article 4 as well as on Article 5 briefly, as that's new. The first change I'll draw your attention to is on page 78, lines 16 through 17. This is the Community Identity and Heritage Grant Program language, and this language has been modified somewhat from what it was last time. Previously, these grants were to organizations or individuals working to create, celebrate, and teach the art, culture, and heritage of diverse Minnesota communities. But on lines 16 and 17, you'll see that this bill includes a new emphasis on targeting those grants to organizations or individuals that actually reside or are based in those communities. The next change I'll draw your attention to is on that same page, lines 27 through 32. There's a new directive to the Humanities Center that requires that it consider the extent to which applicants for this pot of money represent groups that have been underrepresented in past awards of money from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. And then the next thing I will draw your attention to, Madam Chair, is Article 5. This is new language requiring certain measures by grantors and grantees to ensure accountability for the expenditure of legacy funds. This language begins on page 86, and the first thing I'll note is that it applies to all grant funding in this act. So that includes both competitive grant, you know, pots of money that is competitively awarded, as well as to grants that are awarded to named recipients. And what it requires is that grantees submit information to allow the grantor to determine whether a grant is reasonable in light of the grantee's financial and sort of management practices and situation. A grant cannot be made until the grantor has made those determinations, and the grantor is required to document its compliance with this section. Towards the middle of the page, on starting on line 17 and going through line 28, you'll see that this language includes some minimum documentation that grantees must provide in order to comply with this requirement. That includes a Form 990 or another tax form that nonprofit organizations typically file with the IRS, as well as evidence of proper registration with the Secretary of State. And then for a recipient that has annual revenue in excess of $750,000 per year, the applicant also has to provide the most recent financial audit to the grantor. The next thing I'll point out on the same page towards the bottom is that the grant can be awarded even if there are significant concerns that exist, so long as the grantor addresses them through the provision of technical assistance to the grantee or through additional monitoring and reporting requirements. And Madam Chair, that's all I have for the committee unless there are questions.
Thank you, Mr. Stanley. Members, any questions? Okay, Senator Green, would you like to turn your camera on and ask your question?
Well, I can turn my camera on, but I'm not very photogenic. Oh, it says unable to access camera. I could be in a kind of a weak spot, so you'll probably hear me better if it's off.
Okay, Senator.
I do have a couple of questions, and one of them I had marked on the. I'll start at the end on the page where on page 86, because I was looking at this tonight, and although I appreciate this language, I do have some this is something that I was going to try to amend onto the bill, but I'm still working on the language. And that is, you know, when it, in the bottom, when you talked about even if there is problems, they can still get the money. I have a kind of a problem with that. But is there any kind of stipulations that we'll be putting in here, or is it all at the discretion of the grantor as far as what is appropriate and what is not?
Senator Herr or Council?
I'll leave to Council to explain in more detail from my, but Senator Green, from my understanding, is that we leave this to the decision of the grantor. They have experience overseeing many projects like this in the past. But just double check in case I missed my point on all the technicality of this language.
Mr. Stanley.
Madam Chair, Senator Herr is correct. And if you look at the very last lines of the bill on page 87, this makes clear that these requirements are in addition to the existing grant oversight mechanisms that would apply to these funds even without this language. But to Senator Green's question about the specifics, this language is designed to apply to all of the many different grantors and grantees in this bill. And so it is not, you know, acknowledging the sort of different circumstances of each of these grantees and each of the grantors that will be facilitating the grants. It is not very prescriptive in terms of exactly what has to happen for every grantee and provides some level of flexibility for a grantor to determine what steps are necessary, while also requiring that the grantor take, you know, document how it's complying with the requirement.
Senator Green, follow up or further questions?
Yes, yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. And I appreciate that. I'm still going to work on some of the stuff that I've been trying to get the language right on, and I'll probably, if it's okay, confer that with Senator Herr and with Council before the bill comes to the floor. But then there's a couple of other things in the bill. On page 82, I think it's on line 17. I'm not going to page through it because it'd take me too long. But there was language in there, just in that one specific paragraph, that stipulated, I believe, that the grantee or of the funds for that project could also apply for other money toward the same project. And I don't think that is forbidden in any other place. I'm wondering why that language was in there.
Senator Herr or Council?
Yes, I defer this to Council.
Mr. Stanley.
Madam Chair, Senator Green, so that language, you are correct that what that says is if you are a named recipient of first year money from the Community Identity and Heritage Grant Program, POT, nothing about being named and having a set amount prohibits you from applying for an additional amount so long as the applicant complies with the normal process to get a portion of that money that other applicants would have to. It also is to facilitate the fact that the second year contains no named recipients of that money, and so for anybody to get some of that grant money the second year, they would have to apply just like all the other applicants. And so this is that language is partially there just to ensure that there's no implication that just because you got a first year grant, you're prohibited from getting a second year grant.
Senator Green.
Okay, thank you. I got a couple more questions, but just two, and then we'll let it go with that. But on page 52, line 32, it looks like you're giving the board the opportunity to shift grants from one grantee to the other, and I'm wondering, would that be specified that you can shift those grants, but only to people that were already okayed, or will they be able to have discretion to move those grants to different places?
Senator Herr?
Madam Chair, I'll defer this to Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Mueller.
Madam Chair and Senator Green, this is language that has been in pretty much all the Clean Water legacy bills in the past, allowing Bowser to move money between some of these appropriation amounts as it sees a need, if there's a greater need for one of those, and without having to come to the legislature to have us shift some of those funds. But this is language that has been in past bills before, and I'm sure they would be happy to follow up and give you some more information about, and I'd be happy to follow up also with them about how much of this shifting and moving of money that they've done in the past and how they've used it before.
Senator Green?
Yeah, thank you. I'd appreciate that, because there's other language in the bill that seems to me that to prevent that when it says that all the funds have to be apportioned to something before they can be let, and it just, you know, it doesn't really seem to coincide. But we'll talk about that. One last question, and then I will stop. But on page 61, line 8, there's language, and it looks to me like it's. I don't know if it's just for this bill this year, or if this goes into statute, if it's going to affect future legislators as far as how money can be appropriated. If you can look that up, I hope I got the numbers right. Page 61, line 8.
Is it
Senator Herr?
Senator Green, is it starting the grant award under this paragraph must be based on the list of recommended projects submitted to the legislative committee under statute?
Right. Section.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it looks like only the recommended projects can be allotted money.
I'll have counsel explain this to all of us. So, Mr. Stanley.
Mr. Stanley.
Madam Chair, members, this is language that I think is in every legacy bill. And I don't know, Senator Green, if you're asking about the statutory reference there on that line, but this is just referencing the statute that's being referenced there is the Parks and Trails Grant Program statute. And so for this pot, you're just referencing the statute under which this money will go out, and presumably it will go out in the same sort of way next time that it went out this time, but I guess I don't know that.
Senator Green?
Okay. No, that answers my questions for now, so thank you.
Thank you, Senator Green. Members, other questions? Seeing no further questions, Senator Eichhorn, would you like, as minority lead, a comment or? Okay. Very good. Senator Herr, any final remarks?
Well, thank you, members, for making this bill a success, and thank you all the senators who bring their proposal. I believe there's at least 25 senators that brought in their project, submit their requests, and also continue to knock on our door, and we are very inclusive of those bills and those projects, and we give pretty much all of them a hearing. I would say this year, legacy omnibus bill is a little bit innovative than bill the past. You know, we will continue to tread this road and see if adjustment need to be made. But I'm happy that in the language of the bill that we have currently. So I want to thank members that are in this committee. Also, thank to the staff, Carla and Michael, and all researchers, Parson researcher, Cassie and Greg, and our counsel, Mr. Stanley, Mr. Mueller, and also member of the audience and those who brought forth the proposal to have our center carries them. Another reason that keep my pride for the legacy amendment is our beautiful logo that you might have seen all over our state, this logo here. As you can see, there's a picture of water and water flower flying on top of the lake on the from the left. and you have cacti and vegetation. In the middle is shaded red with a pink brush and a musical staff. And then to the right, you have a symbol of a fish in blue. And then you have a symbol of two pine tree with color green. I think this symbolizes Shrell. And then the letter below that is clean water, land, and legacy amendment. So the logo itself talks a lot about this bill and the amendment that's been passed since 2008. And often when I spoke in the community, giving people a broad idea of the duties and the responsibility that we have here in the Senate, I usually point to this logo, whether that be posted at our park, playground, in the woods, or on our website, on the poster, or inside a book. I usually point out that I am part of the decision making to appropriate funding to make the committee and project happen. So, member, you can certainly use the same idea too, because folks out there sometimes don't know what we do here. So you can point to the logo, whether it's at park, you know, at on the trail somewhere, said I'm part of this. So just an idea, but at the end of my wording here, I'm just gonna conclude that I'm asking for us to pass this bill to the Finance Committee. And if we do have a little time, let's see, I think we're a little ahead of time here. I wanna maybe give 10 minutes for members in the audience who may wanna speak in support of this bill, but let's pass this bill first before we grant them time to speak in support. Yeah.
Very good, Senator Hurd. Is there a motion for the bill, Senator Hoffman?
So moved.
Senator Hoffman moves that Senate File 1682 as amended be recommended to be re-referred to the Finance Committee. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails, and Senate File 1682 as amended is passed and referred to the Finance Committee. Congratulations, Senator Hurd.
Thank you, and congratulations go to all of you as well. So, Madam Chair, if I may request to see if anybody in the audience want to speak in support or even against, you know, feel free to come over. Or if not, then, Madam Chair, you may adjourn our committee.
It appears that someone has taken you up on your offer. Okay. Please join Senator Hurd at the testifier's table. State your name for the record and please proceed.
Madam Chair, Chair Senator Fong-He, members of the committee, my name is Dr. Bruce Corey. I'm an economist and cultural entrepreneur. I want to share a little bit of context and insight into Senate File 1682 for your consideration, even though you just passed it. Congratulations on something that you've done, which unfortunately, we haven't seen in the House, and that is allowing communities to have direct appropriations as well as competitive grants. This is so important for Minnesota because people come at it from different angles in terms of approaching resources. The point I want to make to this committee is that you have, as Senator pointed out in that logo, a very important charge around water, on energy, from climate, and people. And the cultural heritage of people. And in the context of Minnesota, we have what I call the Alana communities, African, Latino, Asian, and Native American communities. And unfortunately, in the history of the state, the value and cultural heritage of the Alana communities have not been given as prominent as before because tied to the concept of racism, the denial of value of a person is foundational to how people can treat people as a commodity or a thing and not, and in this way exploit them. But, and so this process gets fed into institutions. I'm on the board of a mainstream museum of art. I'm on the executive committee. I'm on the diversity committee of the museum. So I know how difficult it is and the history of this country to create an inclusive museum where everyone's value is celebrated. And when the world sees Minnesota, unfortunately, you may have heard from Mark Ritchie, who's trying to bring the World Expo to Minnesota. When they see Minnesota, they see an innocent man, George Floyd, murdered on the streets of Minneapolis. And here, in this year of a $17 billion budget surplus, you have the opportunity to show the world a different image of how you've invested in the Alana communities and build their assets. Now, looking at the math of the bill, when I look at the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, it's $192 million. And if I look at it in terms of what are going to the Alana communities, only about 10% is going for the Alana communities directly. The Alana population in Minnesota is 20%. So if this was to be at the minimum investing in the cultural heritage of the Alana people and the assets, there should be an additional $18 million. They're just not remedying past the negative disinvestment in the communities. So I want to encourage, I want to ask you to please find that $18 million from within this budget. I just did the math again. Out of an $822 million budget that this committee is looking for, just 2.5% is going to the Alana communities. Is that the priority that we're giving to our communities in Minnesota? Is that the message that you're saying? Now, a bunch of the money is going to the State Arts Board, $90 million. I looked at the State Arts Board to try to find out how are our communities, Alana communities, benefiting from the State Arts Board. I can't find a number. The best research I found was something coming out of the University of Minnesota that says 4% of the money has been given to our communities. And in terms of the dollar amount, also they're lower than the other average amount. So can you also pass an amendment to the bill that says 20% of the State Arts Board funding should go to the investing in the cultural assets of the Alana communities, and that would make a big difference, and for that matter, even the grants that go to the Minnesota Historical Society too. So as I said, we have a great opportunity. We are counting on your leadership to make a strong statement to Minnesota and the world that you value our culture and our assets and you are investing in them. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Senator Hurd.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for Dr. Bruce Corey. We can only do better as we move forward, and especially in the arts and culture, trying to bring positive light into our daily predicament. And so I'm hopeful that this project will go on and also change, you know, as we pass the Senate, that it designate to groups that will help brighten our future. And just hearing Dr. Bruce Corey here, you know, I suppose in whatever we do here in the Senate, there's also a citizens group that watching us to keep us in transparent and also checks and balance. So that we value in our democracy, and thank you for people out there that continue to keep us on the right path. With that, I also appreciate Senator Green for continuing to make sure that we mark our, dot our I's and cross our T. And, you know, I will work with him on any provision that, you know, necessary for this bill as it travel forward to the finance and also to the floor. And for sure, I thank every one of you, but more particularly, I also want to thank, you know, our ranking minority members, Senator Icahn, for continuing to have conversation with me in retirement room or on the floor about, you know, the direction of this bill, and looks like we all have consensus. It's all the provision that are in this bill are mostly bipartisan. Some of the chief author may be member of GOP, and they have co-authors, DFLers, and vice versa. So thank you again for the partnership of all. So with that, I'm done, Madam Chair.
Excellent. Congratulations, Senator Hurd. And with that, we are adjourned.